This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome to CBS Mornings. You're looking at the United States Capitol on this January 6th, the one-year anniversary of a violent assault on the center of America's democracy. I'm Gail King with Nate Burleson here in New York. Tony DeCoppola's on Capitol Hill for a special edition of CBS Mornings.
When something unthinkable happens, we all have a tendency to want to forget. And a big part of what we're doing this morning is resisting that urge. On January 6, 2021, there was anger, there was outrage, there was disbelief as our fellow Americans breached the building behind me, stormed not one but both chambers of Congress, and engaged in deadly hand-to-hand fighting with law enforcement, Capitol Police, and Metro Police. Today we're going to look at how we got to that moment in American history, what happened on that day, and in what may be the moral question of our time, where do we go from here? Was that a singular one-time incident, or, more frightening, was it the start of a new and more violent political era in America? Unfortunately, there's a lot of polling out there suggesting millions of Americans believe the latter. We're going to get into all of it, but we're going to begin with Nancy Cordes, who was here on Capitol Hill a year ago today. And this morning we find her on what is known as the West Front. Nancy, good morning to you. We're going to hear from President Biden later today. What do we expect him to say?
Good morning, Tony. President Biden is going to lay the blame for this insurrection, which started right here on the west front of the Capitol, squarely at the feet of his predecessor, President Trump. And President Biden is going to warn of the ongoing threat posed by this toxic mix of misinformation and political violence.
The attack lasted just a few hours, but the aftershocks continue to this day. Hundreds of Americans charged, a president impeached.
The president has disregarded his oath of office.
And law enforcement still fearful it could happen again. Capitol Police Chief Tom Manger.
The next time that we're tested, we will not be making those same mistakes.
Despite the warning signs, almost no one saw the first test coming.
The Senate will come to order.
Lawmakers came to work that Wednesday to carry out what is normally a routine duty, certifying the results of the presidential election.
The only question is how long this is all going to take and how much drama we'll witness before it's all over.
But at that moment, thousands of Trump supporters were already streaming toward the Capitol, urged on by Mr. Trump, who refused to concede.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol.
They got to the barricades and kept going, tackling, punching, tasing, and pepper spraying about 140 police officers, beating them with poles, pipes, even fire extinguishers. One officer was crushed in a door. Another was dragged down the stairs, face first.
This is the nightmare scenario.
In the House chamber, members cowered as rioters tried to break down the doors.
Shots have been fired inside the Capitol building.
Senators were rushed out of their chamber just minutes before the looters flooded in. One officer died that day. Four others have since lost their lives. Some are still recovering.
I could feel myself losing oxygen and recall thinking to myself, this is how I'm going to die.
Four of the rioters died as well. One of them shot by police as she tried to break into the speaker's lobby.
We will defend our democratic institutions from attack.
Attorney General Merrick Garland said Wednesday that prosecutors have since issued more than 5,000 subpoenas and search warrants, arresting more than 725 people, nearly half of them for felonies like conspiracy and assault. He suggested that some ringleaders could still be charged, even if they weren't physically at the Capitol that day.
The actions we have taken thus far will not be our last.
The fences that turned Washington into a fortress for months have now mostly come down. But the January 6th Select Committee, seven Democrats, two Republicans, is still studying how the seat of U.S. democracy could have been breached so easily and whether Mr. Trump resisted calls to send in the National Guard to help.
For 187 minutes, President Trump refused to act. When action by our president was required, essential, and indeed compelled by his oath to our Constitution.
Law enforcement officials insist there is no credible security threat here today. And as for President Trump himself, he was planning to hold a press conference today to commemorate this anniversary, but he has since canceled it and says he'll hold a rally in Arizona next weekend instead. Tony.
Nancy Cordes reporting for us from the west front of the Capitol, one of the multiple entrances breached 1 year ago today. Nancy, thank you very much. We want to go now to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Senator, thank you for being here.
Good morning.
I think it's a sign of the health of our republic that those images we just saw still have the capacity to shock us.
Oh, I was there. I was within 30 feet of these rioters. I got to the floor of the Senate at 1 p.m., my first time as putative majority leader, because early that morning we had learned we had won the two seats in Georgia. I hadn't even given a speech when a Capitol Hill police officer, with a bulletproof vest, submachine gun across his waist, grabs me by the collar like this. I'll never forget. It says, "Senator, we're in danger." We walk out of the chamber, we walk through a door, and we're within 20 feet of those rioters. Had one of them had a gun, had two of them blocked off the door, Lord knows what would have happened. One of them was reported to say, "There's the big Jew. Let's get him." Bigotry against one is bigotry against all.
Well, Senator, let's talk about danger. 1 year later, a majority of Americans think that that was not a singular event, but a mark of a new era where there will be more violence in this country. Do you share that fear?
I do share that fear. You know, when there's a mob, when democracy is at danger, it often starts with a mob. And not everyone is part of the mob, but people excuse the mob. People egg on the mob. Donald Trump is still doing that. And we're seeing violence still right now, or threats of violence, against election brokers, poll workers across the country. And too many people excuse the mob, follow the mob. This is how democracy has eroded. History has shown us. Donald Trump has blame. You know, we had some great moments that day. When we went to that secret place, McConnell, McCarthy, Pelosi, and I said, "We're going to come back at 8 p.m. and count the votes." But that moments of courage and outrage by McConnell and McCarthy are gone. They're following Trump.
They are gone. The message has changed from the Republican Party. Something that also has happened on the Republican side of the aisle is you have more than a dozen states that have, in their view, secured elections, election integrity, in the view of your side, suppressed the vote. You want to change that by passing a voting rights bill.
Yes.
What's your plan to get that done? And do you fear doing so could actually deepen the polarization that got us here?
If when people are eroding democracy, they're not aiming, first, there's no evidence of fraud, none, and yet they pursue
it. Barr has said that. Donald Trump's Department of Homeland Security has said that.
Yes. And it's who's it aimed at? People of color, young people, college campuses, poor people, urban people, all Democratic voters. They're trying to jaundice the elections so they're never fair again. We cannot allow that in a democracy. So on the 17th, MLK Day, I will put on the floor two bills that will allow the Justice Department to come in and undo these restrictive votings that are reminiscent of Jim Crow. And if we have to change the rules to do it, we will have to vote on changing those rules. We don't have all the votes for that yet, but we're fighting every day to get them.
Senator, I was in Washington, D.C. on 9/11, and
yes.
I remember the aftermath of that terrible day.
That was
one where we came together as a country. In
yes.
The aftermath of this terrible day, we have, if anything, drifted further apart. How do you change that? Can a politician change that?
Well, we try, and you've got to speak truth. It's truth to power. And I just would pray to so many Americans who may have a different ideology than I have and Democrats have not to follow Donald Trump. Donald Trump is spreading the big lie. He is sowing mistrust in this democracy. Already two-thirds of Republicans believe that big lie. If we do, if we allow these legislatures to undo things so unfairly, the rest of the country may not believe in our democracy. And then where are we? If we don't believe in the integrity of our elections, what happens to our democracy? So I am worried. I am worried.
It's a worry I share. When you look at the polls, though, the doubts in our system exist on both sides of the aisle.
Correct.
And polarization is not, we don't come to this place with equal blame, but it does take two to get here.
I am eager to work with Republicans and to work with the other side to restore our democracy.
How do you do that?
Well, the problem is, so far, just about every one of them is so afraid of Donald Trump, even when they whisper to us that they don't like what he's saying, don't agree with what he's saying, they're afraid to resist him. He has a power over the Republican Party right now that is damaging. I am hopeful that brave voices like Liz Cheney, like Kinzinger in the House, that they will multiply and speak up, because the Republican Party in the past has always been for voting rights. The two Bushes were for voting rights. Reagan was for voting rights. You cannot take away people's rights to vote in the horrible and crass ways they're doing it,
Senator,
and expect our democracy to keep going.
But, Senator, you're blaming Republican elected officials.
Yes.
Is the blame really with them, or is it with the voters who they're responding to?
Well, the Republican officials have a responsibility to lead. Some of the voters go along with the Republicans, some don't. But people should realize, when you don't stand up to the violence of a mob and the lies that a leader is spreading, democracy could erode. So we hope and pray that more and more Republicans, the number of people who think Donald Trump to blame on the Republican side is increasing, not by enough yet, but increasing. And this man who, He's such an egotist, he can't accept that he lost the election fairly and squarely, and instead he's eroding our democracy.
Senator, I appreciate you being here with us 1 year later as we start to hopefully build the democracy back up again.
We need to do that, and I'm pleading with Republican voters, Republican people across the country, do not follow the big lie. Your ideology doesn't have to be the same as ours. We can disagree respectfully, but we cannot follow a big lie.
All right, Senator, the conversation will continue. Thank
Indeed.
You for being
Indeed, thank
here.
You.
Nate and Gail, as I send it back to you in New York, I think it's important to remember that we did do this to ourselves. We have it within ourselves to fix it, but it's up to us. Only we can do it, guys.
No doubt. And you said something that was powerful. We can disagree respectfully. Tony will be with us from the Capitol all morning long as we reflect on that day. Tony, we'll check back in with you a little bit. We have other news this morning, including a decision that allows nearly 5 million children to get their third dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. The CDC Advisory Committee has endorsed booster shots for kids aged 12 to 15 who had their second dose at least 5 months ago. The CDC is also strongly recommending boosters for 16 and 17-year-olds. A record number of children with COVID are being hospitalized, more than 600 a day over the past week.
New CDC data paints a very dire picture of what's likely to come as those Omicron cases continue to surge. The agency expects up to around 54,000 people to be hospitalized every day by the end of the month. Nikki Batiste takes us inside an IC unit in Teaneck, New Jersey.
It's all hands on deck at Holy Name Medical Center in Teaneck, New Jersey.
How have the numbers of COVID patients changed from just before the holidays to now?
Just before the holidays, we were under 30. Yesterday, we were over 90. So we've seen a significant increase.
Dr. Michelle Aceto is the chief nursing officer. Right now, 106 employees are out sick, 26 of them nurses. For those at work, this is still a big part of the job description, holding up cell phones so patients can FaceTime their loved ones.
See that care for patients day in and day out, and then work so hard and not win the battle, it's a lot.
Nearly 6,000 hospital staff members across New Jersey have gotten COVID since Christmas. The state is asking its National Guard and FEMA for help with staffing. 14 hospitals in the state face a critical staffing shortage. At least three more are expected to by the end of the week. That's as the state sees more than 700 patients in the ICU. Nurse Lauren Boniello has worked at Holy Name for almost 10 years. She says the pandemic has been incredibly difficult as they've lost patients and co-workers to COVID.
In the beginning of the pandemic, we lost an employee who everyone was very familiar of and really worked alongside. It was a challenging day. It was a very emotional day, but it was something that we got through together.
In that moment, what's going through your mind? I'm sorry.
You're right. And
almost 2 years later, they're still pushing on.
What do people need to know about what you and your staff and nurses are going through?
I think they need to know that we are here for any patient that walks through that door.
Another reminder of what these frontline workers do. Thank you so much, Nikki Batiz.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.